Thank you, Dan. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We began the study on the miracles and enjoyed the time in looking at each one of them. And we're going to see two of the miracles. We're just going to reflect back of just briefly on two of the miracles that involve water, as well as the third one we're going to be looking at this morning. But I'm just going to begin by reading verse 11, John chapter 2. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This was the beginning of miracles, to manifest his glory. And this is the whole purpose of the miracles, isn't it? It's the whole purpose that he might manifest his glory. The miracles show forth his glory. He's a man of glory. He came in the glory of the Father, and he's full of grace and truth. If we look at the miracles and we study them and we see God's dealing with people in different instances, but if we fail to see his glory, then we've missed the purpose of the miracle. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that he's in the brightness, who being in the brightness of his glory. And the brightness has a thought of the radiance, that which shines forth, such brightness, such evidence of his glory. And he came to reveal the glory of the Father, didn't he? He was willing to humble himself and become a servant and to reveal the glory of the Father. We see his manifestation of his glory. He who is God manifested in the flesh. The person who has come to this world, not only man, but God seen in the flesh. We see the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. He's the manifestation of the Father, isn't he? He's a representation of his own Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, haven't you? And his glory is seen in manifesting whom the Father is as a representation of the Father. We see he's the express image of his person, of his Father. Then he upholds all things by the power of his word. Think of creation and how he created the worlds and all that is within it. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. We see that in the miracles and the light of the fact that when he spoke, waves, wild seas, boisterous seas become calm just by his voice. And when he spoke, men were healed. Women were healed. He upholds all things by the word of his power. His glory is upheld by the word of his power. And unless we see in the miracles the manifestation of the glory of the blessed Son of God, and unless he who is the center of, as we see these miracles, we're missing the whole point in which we study. I want to go to, I just want to make a few comparisons and or thoughts concerning the waters. Two of the miracles, water was, in the three of them. The first one was the water that the Lord was changed to wine. And wine is, speaks of joy. Isaiah 12 speaks of drawing joy out of the wells of salvation. Speaking to us of salvation. Water was natural in its natural state. And the Lord made it wine. And you know, each one of us in our natural stage, in our birth, from birth, we're sinners. That's our nature, isn't it? By recognizing that we are a sinner, by recognizing that our sin is what separates us between us and God, and recognizing that before death should come, we need to do something about it, the urgency. And we acknowledge the fact that we need a Savior, and we ask God to save us. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our life, and on the basis of the finished work of Calvary, we receive Him by faith and enjoy the confidence in knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we've been brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and having the assurance that our sins are forgiven, that we have been changed from natural state to that which is joyful, to that which can bring joy in the midst of trials and difficulties in life, and that which brings joy in knowing that we have the assurance and confidence that no matter what happens to us, that we will go and be in God's presence throughout all eternity. We have the assurance that it brings. So it's a picture of salvation. We see the waters in the pool of Bethesda. When the angel come down and troubled the waters, we don't know fully exactly how that was all done or all of the details about it, but we know somehow an angel came down and the waters were stirred up. And there were those who were lame and halt and blind and so on, could be put into the pool and could be healed. But this man had no one to put him into the pool. And we see the Lord spoke and said, "Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." But here we see the water of healing, don't we? The water that heals. And I like to think of that as the water that sanctifies. Water that in our daily life, in our daily cleansing, in forgiving of our sins and confessing our daily sins to God, and having that assurance and having that healing in our life day by day. The moment we're saved, God heals us, doesn't He? He forgives us of our sins, but He heals the wounds that sin has brought. And sometimes those wounds don't leave us quickly. And sometimes we carry wounds through our life for a time, and perhaps a long time. But we can be reminded that there's a place of healing that we can go to. And we can turn to the Lord for healing in some of the wounds that we carry in our life. And sometimes because of our own disobedience or our own we don't give over these wounds to the Lord. We don't say, "Lord, this is what I want to give to You in my life. And I want Your healing. And I want You to forgive me, whatever it might be." And to recognize that He takes it. And He gives us the peace in a time like that. He'll heal us of the wounds. Then we see the waters of testing. We see waters of testing in which we're going to look at this morning. The disciples were tested of their faith. Their faith was tested, wasn't it? And we're going to look at that. And so we see in Scripture that God uses water to speak forth the truth of His Word. And we see the fact that as the Lord Jesus, as He performs these miracles, that He takes man right where they're at. Whether it was a blind man, whether it was a lame man, or whoever it was, He took them in the condition that they're in. And He takes each one of us, doesn't He, in the condition that we're in. No matter what we're going through, what difficulties, the trials in our life, that He takes us right where we're at. And He does a work within us, just as we are. It's a wonderful thought to know and to realize. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to go to Matthew. It's where this parable is, or this miracle is found. And it's a little bit more in detail in Matthew than in John. And we're going to look at this portion. We see verse 22 is where it begins. We see previous to this, as you saw last week in the miracle, that Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000, the disciples were there, and they said to the Lord, the multitude was hungry and they were in a desert place. They said, send them away that they might go and buy food on their own. You know, it was a test of their faith, wasn't it? And I believe, as we see here in this miracle this morning, that the Lord specifically was testing the faith of the disciples. And we see that the Lord sent the multitude away after He had fed them, not before. And you know, the Lord met the need of the multitude right at that spot. He didn't take them off in another place, but right in the desert place, a very dry place, there is where He met their need. And sometimes we can have in our own life a desert time. There's no water. It seems very dry in our life spiritually. But God can meet our need even at that time. And sometimes our faith can be very weak at times. But He will meet our need even in the times of weakness, as He did with the multitude. In verse 22 we see, straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him into the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. Dan has this picture in front of us there of the word alone. And we see, after a great triumph in feeding the 5,000, the Lord Jesus goes apart alone. He goes into the mountain alone to pray. Now you might ask, why would He pray? He is God. He knows all things. Why would He pray to the Father? Well, we see of His humanity, don't we? We see His humanity is total dependence upon the Father. He depended on the Father. We think of the time when he was up on the mount with the disciples, as He spent time alone there with with the Father. And then we see a time in the garden that he spent alone with the Father, and his heart was troubled. His heart was moved. His heart was stirred when knowing that he was facing the cross before him, and he was alone. And you know, sometimes we need to just get alone with the Lord. Sometimes we just need to get apart and get alone with the Lord and spend time in prayer and time in His Word. And this is what the Lord did as He communed with the Father there on the mountain. And His heart was in deep communion with the Father at that time. And then we see that while he was there, the disciples went out into the ship. And we see in verse 24, "And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come." We see here the picture of while he was alone in the mountain, the disciples in the ship in the midst of the sea, and somewhere long into the night, a storm had risen up. And a boisterous storm. And these men, these disciples, many of them were fishermen. They'd spent, I'm sure, many nights on the sea. But this storm that had come about was a very boisterous storm. Something that even made fishermen begin to fear had to be a bad storm. But the Lord knew that the disciples, where they were, He knew all about them in prayer before the Father. He knew that. And I'm sure he prayed to the Father for each of the disciples. And I'm sure his heart was heavy because of them. And I'm sure his concern was for their faith as he prayed with the Father, that their faith might be strengthened, that they might grow stronger in dependence on him. But we see the storm that came about. And you know, there are storms in our life, isn't it? And many times in our life, on the sea of life, comes billows of storms. But there's one assurance that is given, is there's an anchor that holds, isn't there? Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I'm peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. Troubles all almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold, I've an anchor that shall hold. Amid the storms of life, there's an anchor that holds. We might be facing financial trials, maybe facing physical difficulties that bear heavily upon your heart and mind. Might be just facing daily trials, daily pressures upon each one. There's a sea of troubles faced in the world. But in the midst of it all, there is an anchor that holds. And in the midst of this storm, as the disciples were troubled, and as their hearts were afraid, in the midst of it, they saw an image. And they thought it was a spirit. And they became very afraid. They didn't know who it was. They could see an image. And they thought it was a spirit. And so it caused them to be afraid. You remember later on when the Lord Jesus was resurrected, he was spending the last moments with the disciples. And when he came unto them, as they were gathered together, they thought it was a spirit, and they were terrified. They were afraid. And they didn't realize that it was him. And they supposed that he was a spirit. And as he came to them, he says, "Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" And he showed him his hands and his feet. "The spirit does not have flesh and bones as ye see me have." You see, thoughts arise in our hearts, don't they? And sometimes fear can cause thoughts to arise in our hearts. And sometimes we come to conclusion out of fear that may not be necessarily so. They were troubled. They saw this image. It looked like a spirit. And the Lord said to them, "Why are you troubled?" And you see here, it was the evidence of his hands and his feet. The evidence of who he is as they touched him that quenched their fear. And it was his voice on the troubled sea that quenched their fear. "Why are ye so fearful? It is I. Be not afraid." It is I. Be not afraid. Tremendous three words when the Lord Jesus spoke. "Be of good cheer. It is I." Don't be afraid. To be of cheer. It is I. It's him. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord himself. He's not a spirit. It's the Lord himself. He's coming to us. We're in the troubled sea. He's coming to us. Peter answers him and said, "Bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." An invitation was made to come. And I think Peter spontaneously said, "Invite me to come." We see that he invited himself first. "Bid me to come to the water." It was his first initiative to come to him. And you know, sometimes when we go through difficulties in life and trials, and so often people turn to other things, don't they? So often we can turn to books, which can have help. So often we turn to helps of man. But you know, the Lord wants us to come to him. That in the midst of the storm, to be of good cheer, it is I. He wants us to come to him and recognize it is I. It is the Lord of glory in manifesting his glory. He wants us to come to him. "It is I." When Peter heard those words, he left the ship and walked on the water. And you see, we need to turn to the Word of God, the book of books, and to realize that it is Him. It's Him that we turn to. There's so many things in the world that people turn to bury their troubles and to find relief from the difficulties and trials about them, only to find none. But in the Word of God, we can find comfort, because He takes us where we're at, right where we're at, and He makes us a new creature, and He brings comfort and cheer to our soul. Tremendous thought, isn't it? That we can find cheer in the midst of the storm. And we see that as Peter walked out on the water, in verse 30, "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Peter was doing fine as long as he had his eyes on the Lord, wasn't he? But when the waves and the boisterous sea and the troubled sea was about him, he began to look around at it. And as a result, he took his eyes off of the Lord and he began to sink. And you know, no matter how deep he sank, when the Lord stretched forth his hand in verse 31 and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" As Peter began to sink, and he began to sink into the waters, and as he cried out to the Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him and lifted him up. You see, no matter how far we deep we sink into the depths of the troubles of this world, the Lord is there to reach out and to pick us up. To pick us up. And to give us that comfort and confidence and cheer in knowing that it is Him. It's only Him that could do that. It could pick us up from the troubled sea. The Lord's response to Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" See, Peter's faith was tested, and the faith of the disciples as well were tested, wasn't it? And sometimes we, as believers, go through testing that our faith might be strengthened. We fail to realize that God has a purpose for troubles, then our faith won't be strengthened either, will it? We can rebel against God's hand, who wants to pick us up and to strengthen us, or we can submit, can't we? We can say, "Lord, I don't know fully the reason for this trial. I don't know fully understand it. I don't know fully how I'm going to go through this difficulty. But I know one thing, that in the midst of it, you're there. And you want to lift me up with your hand. And you want to give me that comfort and assurance in the midst of the trial." And we see that in what happened in Peter at this time. But God wants to strengthen our faith, don't we? And sometimes some of us have been saved for a number of years. And sometimes it's good to take inventory as to how strong is my faith. How strong is my faith before God? We know faith comes from God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It cannot be generated by ourselves, can it? You say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to put more faith into my life. But see, unless I spend time in the Word of God and gain the confidence and the consciousness of the Word of God, being conscious of His presence, our faith cannot grow, can it? Peter reminds us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we have knowledge of His Word and a consciousness of His presence and a consciousness of the fact that what is written in this book, Thus saith the Lord, can build my faith, can give me that anchor that holds in the storms of life. You see, without spending time in His Word and building on the foundation that God has laid within our life, we cannot grow as we ought to before God. And we dare not be hard on Peter, because I'm sure we would respond somewhat of the same way. They were afraid. They didn't know it was him. They thought it was a spirit. And when they heard his voice, and when he said, it is I, be not afraid. It's a reminder of us, isn't it? It's a lesson to each of us. Peter had been saved for some time previous to that. But yet in that time, in the trial and difficulty that the disciples found themselves in, they were afraid. But we see that the Lord's whole purpose was that their faith might be strengthened. O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And sometimes when we go through a trial and we say, why did I doubt? Why wasn't my faith stronger in the midst of it? Why did I doubt? Well, sometimes we may be weak, and then the sinful nature that is within us, and the power of the nature of sin can become strong in our life if we're not spending time in the Word of God. And yielding to the temptations of Satan can hinder us from growing, of our faith growing in our life day by day. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And we see when the Lord Jesus came into the ship that the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It produced worship, didn't it? His glory, the manifestation of His glory, produces worship, doesn't it? And as he reached down and picked Peter up, and as he calmed the sea, the evidences that the disciples saw that it was truly the Lord, that it was Him, that it produced worship. And you know, when we recognize the evidence of who the Lord Jesus is, of what He has done and given His life for us on the cross of Calvary, shedding His precious blood for our sin, paying the tremendous price for our sin. And as we recognize that, can we see worship in our life, true worship before God? I'm sure they knelt before Him as they said, truly, He is the Son of God, as they worshiped before Him. You know, the sea was made calm as the disciples came to land, and they were reminded that he was in the midst. He was there. He was with them. And you know, this morning, if there's anyone here that has never yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and in the sea of life are faced with trials, the only answer is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by recognizing that you're a sinner, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, it's the only way you can have forgiveness of sin and be brought into the family of God. And I trust there's anyone here this morning who has never done that, that they might do that before it's too late. And as believers, we go through difficulties, we can be reminded of the fact that His presence is with us, that He's ready to pick us up no matter how deep we sink, and He can give us the strength and the encouragement to carry on day by day. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God, and thank Thee for the miracles which we see in Your Word, and thank Thee for the lessons that we can learn, and we see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Him revealed in so many ways. And Father, we thank Thee for the fact that we can see His glory and in the miracles that He has performed. And Lord, as we think of the fact that He takes us where we are, and Lord, we just pray that if there's anyone here who has never yet trusted You as Savior, they might do so before it's too late. We pray for encouragement for each one of us as we go about day by day. We might draw upon His strength, that our faith might be increased. And even in the last days, Paul reminds us that faith will grow weak. Men's hearts fail because of fear. And help us to stand true to Your Word and go forth recognizing that it is I, the Lord Himself, who is with us. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.